This chazar is echinesh b'chachas shag from Yehuda Masechet Sotah Daf Yudches. Rava asked if the kohen wrote two megillas sotah, one for each of two sotahs, and he then erased them into a single cup of water. What's the halacha? Do we say that the writing has to be done l'shma for the sotah, and it was, or do we say that even the erasings have to be done l'shma into her own cup of water as well, and that was not done in this case? Now, even if we say that the erasings have to be done l'shma, what if he erased each megillah into its own cup of water and then mixed the two cups of water together? Do we say that since the erasing was done l'shma, it's valid, or do we say that each sotah is not drinking her own personal water and therefore it's possible? If we say that would be possible, what would be the halacha if he then split the water into two separate cups and they each drank one cup? Do we say that the situation is considered to be rectified and it's valid, brave, they're each drinking their own? Or do we say that the water she ends up with is not exclusively hers all along and therefore remains possible? Teiku b'lepta shayla. Rava asks, what if the sotah drank the water through a straw-like medium? Do we say it's normal to drink in this way and it's valid? Or do we say it's not normal and therefore it's possible? Teiku b'lepta shayla. Rav Ashi asks, if some of the water spilled, is it sufficient for her to drink whatever remained in the cup or not? Teiku b'lepta shayla. Zachti Gemara, Rav Zeir, in the name of Rav, said the psukim state two oaths said by the kohen. Why are two oaths necessary? One is said before the megillah is erased, and one is afterwards. Rav asked, in the order of the psukim, both of the oaths are stated before the megillah is erased. Rava said one oath has a curse along with it, and the other does not, and that's the purpose of the two oaths. What is meant by the oath with a curse? Rav Amram, the name of Rav, said, the kohen says, I am making you swear that you were not mezana, because if you were, the waters will go into you. Rava asked, that's not an oath of a curse, as the pasuk says. That's an oath and a separate curse. Rava said, it must be that the kohen says to her, I am making you swear that if you were mezana, the waters will go into you. Rav Ashi, yes, the statement contains a curse, but does not really contain an oath. Rav Ashi said, therefore, that the kohen says, I am making you swear that you were not mezana, and if you were, the waters will go into you. This is different than because, when he says because, since the oath is going on the curse as well, and the curse is not simply a reason for her to take the oath seriously. Zok the Mishnah, why does the woman answer to the kohen, Amen, Amen? Why does she say Amen twice? Zok the Mishnah, she's saying Amen to the curse and Amen to the oath. She's saying Amen that she wasn't mezana with this man, and Amen she was not mezana with any other man. She's saying Amen that she was not mezana as an arusa or as an asua. Amen that she was not mezana as a shemeres yavam or having been married to with Yibam. She says Amen that she was not mezana, and Amen that if she was, the water should go into her and cause her to die. Rav Meir says she also uses a double expression to say Amen that she was not mezana, and Amen that she will not be mezana in the future. Zok the Mishnah, all agree that she cannot be made to swear regarding the period of time before she was an arusa or the period of time after she gets divorced. He cannot even make her swear that if they get divorced and remarried, that she will not be mezana with someone during that period that she is divorced. The general rule is, Zakta Mishnah, for any znus that would not make her usher to her husband, she cannot be made to swear regarding that. Zakti Mar Rav Nuna said, if a Shemeres Yavim is Mezana, she becomes usher to her Yavim. This can be learned from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that she says, Amen, that she was not Mezana as a Shemeres Yavim. The Mishnah also then goes on to say that we can only make her swear for a znus that would make her usher to her husband. Therefore, it must be that a Shemeres Yavim, who is Mezana, becomes usher to the Yavim. However, in Eretz Yisrael, they said that the Shemeres Yavim would not become usher to the Yavim. When the Mishnah says that she's made to swear about the period when she was a Shemeres Yavim, it's following the view of Rabbi Akiva, who says that if the woman is Mezana in a way that's only usher, if any woman is Mezana in any way that's only usher with a lav, like a Shemeres Yavim is only usher to her, to the Yavim with a lav, meaning if she's Mezana with anyone else during that time, it's only usher with a lav, Rabbi Akiva would hold that Shitaka becomes also to the husband of the Yavim. However, the Rabbanon would disagree with this and would say that she would remain mutter to the Yavim. Rabbi Yemi asked, if a man and a woman divorced and remarried, and the woman then became a Soita, can the husband make her swear that she was not Mezana during the first marriage as well? Also, if a woman becomes a Soita after entering into Yibam, can the Yavim make her now swear that she was not Mezana during her marriage with the dead brother? Mara says, the Mishnah said, the general rule is that he can make her swear if the Znus she is swearing about would make her usher to him. In both these cases, the earlier Znus would make her usher to him, and therefore he can make her swear regarding these times. Mishnah says, Rav Meir does not mean that by swearing regarding the future, the waters would kill her now if she would have been Mezana in the future. Rather, she swears now, and if she's Mezana in the future, the waters bubble up in her and kill her then after the Znus. Rav Ashi asked, according to Rav Meir, can he make her swear regarding a future marriage that he may have with her if they get divorced and remarried or not? Do we say that now she does not become usher to him, so he cannot make her swear regarding that, or since at that time in that marriage she would become usher, he can make her swear now regarding that as well? Everything more, our Mishnah said that he cannot make her swear regarding znus that takes place after they get divorced and before they get remarried. This suggests that he could make her swear regarding znus that takes place after the remarriage happens. Zochim Rabbi says, the Pasuk says, Zois Toiras Hakanois, the plural is used, Hakanois, which teaches that a woman may be put through the Saita process more than once, meaning for different instances of warning and seclusions. Rabbi Huda says the word Zois teaches that she may only be put through a Saita process once. Rabbi Huda said it once happened that Nechunya the ditch digger testified that a woman was put through the Saita process twice, but we only accepted this testimony when each episode was with a different husband, not when it was with the same husband. Acham said, a woman can never be put through the Saita process twice, whether with one husband or with two different husbands. What does Tanakhama do with the word Zois, and what does the Chacham do with the word Toiras? So Rava said, if there's one husband and one adulterer, everyone would agree that a woman cannot be put through the process a second time based on the word Zois. If there are two separate husbands, two separate adulterers, all would agree that she can be put through the process twice based on the word Toiras. Machloikis is where there's one husband and two adulterers, or one adulterer and two husbands. The Tanakhama says that this would be included in Toiras and a second process can be done, whereas the Rabbanim say this would be included in Zois and a second process cannot be done. Rabbi Huda says Zois excludes two cases, where there's one husband and one adulterer, and when there's one husband and two adulterers. And Toiras includes two cases, where there are two husbands and one adulterer, and two husbands and two adulterers. Hadnolach Perek Hayom Mevi.